It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Oh, did I get fooled on that?
With Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill, the pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take them out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, we got no, well, I guess you shouldn't play those.
It is a fastball. It's ripped down the line. It is gone! A fifth consecutive World Series game with a Freddie Freeman home run.
Damn it.
And the Dodgers are on the board first in game three.
Yeah, that's how the World Series started. Game number three, Freddie Freeman with the home run in five straight World Series games, dating back to his days in Atlanta, which ties a record for most home runs. Tied George Springer with a home run in five straight World Series games, and the Dodgers are on the brink of popping some champagne and basically sweeping the New York Yankees. They're up 3-0, commanding series lead. The Yankees just going out like suckers. I see Justin, our engineer, our IT guy, and he just walked in and out. I mean, what a disastrous month for him.
He literally just said, as soon as I saw Fat Joe performing, I knew we were going to lose.
No, he did.
He literally said that and walked out.
Dude, I mean, talk about his month. He was so high on the Jets. He was so high on the New York Knicks. So high on the New York Yankees. He was living good. He was living a good life last week. He was all in my DMs talking trash. Oh, man. Shasky, you're the baseball guy. You're Shasky's baseball breakdowns.
Did you like that?
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. I liked it. Some people say that you saw Bonte's big screen and was like, ooh, I like that. Anyway.
Bonte's big screen?
Yeah, well, don't even worry about that. This World Series has not lived up to the hype. It's pretty disappointing.
Well, I actually, the individual games have had their moments, but when you get a 3 or 4 run lead with the bullpens being as good as they've been for the Dodgers right now, like the last two games have been nondescript. Game one was awesome, right?
Awesome.
And I think that the Yankees are going to look back at game one, and they're going to look at so many different elements, taking Cole out too early. Obviously Gleyber Torres doing whatever the hell he was doing at second base, that fan reaching over the fence, and maybe it was a home run, maybe it's not. Instead, they get out of the inning unscathed. Do you walk Mookie Betts in that situation and to make the bases loaded to face Freddie Freeman, throwing just a belt-high fastball inside to Freddie Freeman in that extra frame? I don't know, man. The whole thing is under scrutiny right now, but look, Walker Buehler is a guy that 3 or 4 years ago, when you saw him kind of hit the scene for the LA Dodgers, it's like, wow, he's 6'4". He's about 200 pounds. He throws a 97-plus mile-per-hour fastball. He's got multiple breaking balls. He's got the Verlander-like body early on.
Yep.
And he reminded me so much of Justin Verlander, just in terms of the pitching repertoire and the way he throws, where he just kind of like, I'm going to attack guys. And then he had the arm injury. And he's been out a long time.
Yep.
Did he have a hip injury? I was not surprised too. He pitched like that yesterday.
And he had a hip injury midway through the year, and he had to go back down to Oklahoma City to their AAA affiliate, get some work in. So he's going to be a free agent after the season. I think he's going to be back. The Dodgers, I mean, just a dominant season, dominant team. Mookie Betts is solid. I mean, their lineup, they take so many pitches in their eyes at the plate. You throw a bad ball, they're going to spit on it. They wait for their pitch. They wait for their pitch, and they work the count. And Schmidt, you could just tell. Like, the Yankees are lucky to get out of there only giving up 4 runs. The Dodgers had multiple opportunities to blow that game open. I thought they would. They didn't. He had I don't even want to call it drama in the bottom of the ninth. Then he got the Verdugo's 2-run home run. But hey, Kopech just strikes out Gleyber Torres there. I was hoping Juan Soto would get up with the runner on base and maybe try to tie it or just have an opportunity. But the drama sucked out of the series. Game one was it. That was a Yankee shot. As we say, good morning to everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift. We're going to hear from Ron and Hayward, I know, soon, the truck driver, because the Lakers look good as well, even though they lost last night. Good morning, everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift. You're at work. What is happening? If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, You will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. And we have a lot going on today. We got Baldy at 7:30 to talk some Niners. Brian Baldinger, 7:30 on the River Islands guest line. As well as we go behind enemy lines with Antonio Daniels, longtime color analyst with the New Orleans Pelicans, as they're in town for two games. And we're going to talk a little Warriors today. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Feels like here in the Bay Area, we can't breathe, right? In terms of our sports, like the Niners have kept us on the edge of our seats. They go into the bye week at 4-4. Got some injuries. What's going on with Debo? The oblique and the ribs. That's a concern. Dre Greenlaw is going to be week to week. We did get good news on Christian McCaffrey. He's going to ramp it up. But then you look at the basketball court, and you look at the Golden State Warriors, and it's like, okay, Steph's going to get reevaluated Friday with the left ankle sprain. DeAnthony Melton is going to get reevaluated with the back strain. Oh, what do you know? Andrew Wiggins is probably out tonight against the Pelicans with the back injury. And all of a sudden, that depth that we talked about, the first two games, all throughout the preseason, will get tested right away. So as we try to relax and feel good about the 49ers, we look at the Golden State Warriors and we say, I'm not saying they're in trouble here, but when you look at these next two games against the Pelicans, this operation split in my mind. And then you go on this five-game road trip, Shasky, to Houston, Washington, Boston, Cleveland, Oklahoma City. And don't look now, but Jordan Poole's playing well. All of a sudden, it's like, boy, you got to try to stabilize the season early. You got to try to dodge some blows here. How long is Steph going to be out? Because that's, with all the depth, everything revolves around number 30.
There's no doubt it does. And so, you know, I think a lot of people haven't had an opportunity to hear any of your Warrior opinions. You know, they played a game Friday night. It was a big-time win, blowout of the Utah Jazz. And then they play again on Sunday night during the middle of the Niner game. And I don't know how many people were locked in to the Warriors, yeah, you know, as closely as maybe they were the football game. So I've got a bunch of questions that I want to throw at you today. And so maybe you can kind of give your opinions. And then I would love to hear from the audience on these as well. Let's just start at the very, very, very top. Sure. The Steph Curry injury, Bonte, that you're alluding to. Who's the guy that you're looking at that you think needs to step up the most in his absence?
Well, I think it's an obvious one, right? It's Jonathan Kuminga. And I mean, let's be real here. This is a guy who is looking for new money, and the Warriors are far apart on a contract extension. They have one deal on the table, and you can make the argument maybe Kuminga should have taken that deal just to get it done, just to kind of not have to play this season thinking about, boy, am I going to get paid here? Am I going to get a long-term deal? What's my value going to be if I don't play well? Will I still get the same money? Will I not get the same money? It's obvious, Jonathan Kuminga, because you watched those last 5 minutes on Sunday, and you saw a young man who was indecisive on what to do with the basketball. Do I shoot the three? Do I go to the lane? Do I pass it? It was like his brain was moving a little too fast there. And so he's a hell of a player, and he's got a lot of athleticism. But the start of the season has not been great for Jonathan Kuminga as he tries to find his way with this deep team. You know, once he starts, does he get pulled? Does he not play for a long time? So it's an obvious one, Shasky. Jonathan Kuminga has to lead the charge here, getting to the free throw line, getting buckets, getting himself, you know, and maybe Steve Kerr draws up some plays for him early on where he gets him down in the post, get him some touches on the mid block, let him get comfortable in the game, kind of like they do with Andrew Wiggins here, and then he starts rolling. But right now, Kuminga, he's pressing a little bit. You can just see it. Defensively, I think he's fine. He's been guarding very, very well. His individual defense has been solid. But right now, you know, when you think about the scoring load that's missing without Stephen Curry, and now without Andrew Wiggins, who may not go tonight, it's Jonathan Kuminga. Now, I could make the argument for Draymond Green as well, but I'm going to go Jonathan Kuminga.
Well, sticking on Kuminga, I don't think they're running stuff that he's going to thrive in. Like, yeah, where's the high pick and roll? Where's getting this guy downhill? Like, am I wrong on that? Like, it, to me, I get frustrated because I know Steph has to play a certain way. Like, I understand that. And this is where I know he wants to start. I'm talking about Jonathan Kuminga. But it's almost counterintuitive that he starts alongside Steph Curry because the best path for him to succeed most efficiently is through. Now, I'm not saying every single possession has to be high pick and roll, but isn't he just an absolute menace when it comes to a pick and roll threat?
It feels like it, but this is not the Warriors' way, right? It's ball movement. It's moving around here. I think the starting lineup, we just look at the starting lineup. Trayce Jackson-Davis, Draymond, Wiggins, Kuminga. It's a very good defensive lineup. But defenses are going to dare the Warriors to shoot when it's not Stephen Curry. They're going to shadow Curry. They're going to bump him. They're going to try to trap him, get the ball out of his hands. They're going to say, Wiggins will live with you shooting. Kuminga will live with you shooting. Draymond will live with you shooting. TJD, you want to shoot the mini? Go ahead. So the spacing in that half court, I don't think is conducive to a guy like Jonathan Kuminga. You know, it's a lot of congestion in that lane. So if he does want to run a high pick and roll, there's going to be two bodies and a wall right there when he does try to go to the lane. So it's almost as if Steve Kerr may have to tinker with the starting lineup at one point to break this up. Is Kuminga a four? Is he a three? Kerr thinks he's a four. Draymond thinks he's a three. What is Kuminga? I think Kuminga, ideally, in a one big lineup, would thrive next to a five. Right now, I think Kuminga does need to play the four. But you're not going to put him ahead of Draymond Green because Draymond Green has earned that equity here as a defender and whatnot and as a facilitator in the half court. Because now when you think about the starting lineup as well, Steph's not playing point guard. He's playing off the basketball.
Yeah.
And he's playing off the basketball for the most part of the season.
Draymond, with that starting union, is the de facto point guard.
He's going to play point forward. He's going to facilitate in the half court. So where does that leave Kuminga? I think it's a tough spot for him in that starting five.
So you think he should go to the bench?
I don't know if he should go to the bench. I think the starting five is going to need to be tinkered with. Now, ideally, I would love for Draymond to be at this five, Kuminga at the four, Wiggins at the three, and you figure out the two, whether it's D'Anthony Melton, Buddy Hield, or Brandon Podziemski. Maybe it's Buddy Hield because of the spacing that he can provide. But on the flip side, you don't want to wear Draymond Green out at the five. So, Steve Curry, I don't know who's going to come off the bench. I don't really care about that stuff, to be honest with you, Shasky. But when you look at that starting five, I don't think it benefits Jonathan Kuminga. Now, he's got to earn his way. And right now, he's not playing well. He's not playing .5 basketball. He's not decisive enough. That's three games in. But when we're talking about guys who need to step up and pick up the slack here with these injuries, we're all going to look at Jonathan Kuminga.
Okay, so I don't want to get too boggled down in the weeds here, but why do you always say that it doesn't matter about, like, you don't care about starting? Because it clearly is a sticking point for this team over the last couple of years. It's like getting off to good starts.
No doubt. And I think last year they got off to good starts. I mean, at times, the bench has picked up the slack. I personally always look at the entire game because I think so much emphasis is put on starters. And they may not play more than 4 minutes together. They may not play more than 5 minutes together to start the basketball game. And against the LA Clippers, I thought they got off to a decent start. It was their best start of the season. Now, mentally, a lot of individuals do care about starting, right? They want to get starting because money goes along with starting. And when you come off the bench, you don't know when you're going to come off the bench. You don't know when you're going to play. You don't know who you're going to play with. You don't know if your rhythm's going to be there. All of a sudden, you're pressing. You're making mistakes. And all of a sudden, you're saying to yourself, oh, damn, I'm back on the bench here. So, look, I just don't put as big of an emphasis on starting as a lot of people do because I've seen Steve Kerr work this lineup for over 10 years now where he'll start a lineup for 4 minutes and never go back to him again. But obviously with Jonathan Kuminga, he wants to be in that starting lineup. I just don't know if it's going to work for him if you're going to have this lineup around him with TJD, Draymond, and Andrew Wiggins. So Steve Kerr's got to figure this out because the spacing there, it's not conducive. It's not conducive for Kuminga, but it's definitely not conducive for Stephen Curry.
No.
Think about Stephen Curry running around here, and he's the only knockdown shooter because, again, no matter how hot Andrew Wiggins is, opposing teams are going to say, Wiggins, we'll live with you shooting. Draymond, we'll live with you shooting. Kuminga, we'll live with you shooting. He's got to get downhill. And so how do you get him downhill? I think you got to get him on a mid block a lot more.
Well, so, like, let's go to the other end of the spectrum. But Sunday.
Real quick, mid-block, though. Real quick, half-court, now that I'm thinking about it, though. If you get Kuminga on that mid-block with the starting
unit,
you
got to have shooters around.
You got to have shooters around them. And what are defenses going to do when Draymond Green's at the top of the key? They're going to sack off of him, and they're going to dare him to shoot. So now, all of a sudden, you don't have that room in the paint. You get what I'm saying?
No, I do. But, like, we've had this kind of Draymond Green conundrum. Like, he brings so many good things to the table, but also to build out the rest of your team, you need very specific players to play alongside of him. And it just feels like, to me, the organization last year needed to have made, going into the offseason, a decision very simply: are we rolling with Draymond for the next couple of years, or are we rolling with Kuminga? Yep. I don't know if they can coexist simultaneously. People keep going Wiggins and Kuminga. Can they coexist? I think it's more Draymond. And the reason being is it's not because of just playing the four. It's the spacing that you're talking about, and then minutes and allocation. So which brings me to Draymond's clearly very important. Sunday was the first close game of the year. They only played three games. It's a close game. And so the Warriors are trying to close the gap and get back in that game, and Draymond's nowhere to be found in the fourth quarter. Was that a one-off? Was there?
No,
I didn't see Steve Kerr get address that in the postgame.
No, he addressed it. He got asked, was it an injury? And Steve Kerr said no. Kevon Looney was rolling. That's what Steve Kerr said.
So Kevon in the fourth Looney quarter, rolling. They're looking at Draymond to be a five.
No. In the fourth quarter, Draymond didn't have it rolling. He didn't have it rolling. He was having a rough game. Zubac was having his way. Draymond offensively just didn't have it that night.
His body language wasn't great.
It wasn't the greatest body language. And so Steve Kerr, with that lineup, you got to think, Steph Curry leaves the game with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Warriors technically say 7:55. He hobbles off the floor in the fourth quarter. And so they're down at that point. They're down at that point 10. Down 10.
What are they going, like a 12-3 run?
12-3 run with Kevon Looney, Pods, and Steve Kerr just stuck with the lineup. He stuck with the lineup that got him back into the game. And that's how he's going to coach this team. So I didn't make a big deal out of it. I don't know if a lot of people made a big deal about it.
But I was just surprised.
They were down 95-85. And so Wiggins starts rolling. pardon me. And then there's about 6 minutes left, and they're down 10. And all of a sudden, Wiggins makes a three. And then Looney makes a shot. And it's like, oh, we're down six. We have some life. We have some energy. And this lineup is working. And I think Looney deserved those minutes down the stretch. Looney's off to a great start. He's got 15 offensive rebounds in his first three games. He's rebounding the ball well. He's moving well. His body looks tremendous. He had a hell of an offseason. Hell of an offseason. He lost like 35, 40 pounds. Looney looks phenomenal. So Steve Kerr rewarded the guys who was playing hard and got him back into that basketball game. You got to think about that game, too. There was no flow for the Warriors.
None.
21 turnovers. They're getting out scored in the paint, 58-38. Every time they try to close the gap, Clippers had an answer. So Steve Kerr's just searching for answers here, turnovers. And a combination that worked. And it was like, wait, Pods, J.K., Wiggins, Looney, it's working. So he stuck with them, and Draymond sat for the last 8 minutes.
I was just surprised. That's all. I was very surprised because, you know, Draymond's very important for this team. And so it was a change of course. You know what I mean? And I think it got kind of not swept under the rug, but we haven't been able to focus. We were worried about Niners, Cowboys.
Yeah, no, it was a big focal point. Steve Kerr got asked about it. Was it an injury? Because Draymond is dealing with the knee. He was hobbling around a little bit. It was a talking point. It was a talking point, but Lou deserved those minutes. He deserved those minutes down the stretch. So this is how Steve Kerr's going to coach this team. And that's what happens when you got a bunch of guys on this team that are 12 deep. You know what? Well, I'm going to go with a lineup that's rolling to get me back into the game.
Yeah.
Whether or not the only guy who I think is guaranteed minutes on this roster is going to be Stephen Curry.
Yeah. Well, now that he's out for I don't know how long right now, it feels like when Wiggins can get healthy, he's the next guy, right?
Right.
In line when it comes to that. I just feel like they're setting themselves up with all this depth. It's a good thing. But the opposite end of this, similar to the USA team, someone does have to sit, right? And so they're not as deep as the USA team. But the point is that you can't play everyone. And so every game, where's Moody? Where's Kyle Anderson? You're going to get one, two, three different guys that people are going to be clamoring for more opportunities from. And it's just, boy, it feels like they've got to make a move a little earlier than maybe I anticipated when the season started.
They might. They just might because Moody's not playing much. Kyle Anderson's not playing much. Now you have the back injury with Anthony Melton. Let's pick it up on the other side here because This is a big, big seven-game stretch for the Golden State Warriors if they have to navigate. Now, Stephen Curry is going to be reevaluated Friday, but he could be out anywhere from, I don't know, 7 to 10 days maybe. How do they navigate without Stephen Curry? Because it all revolves around him. 888-957-9570 is the number. Hey, Chris in San Jose, hang tight. We'll get to you on the other side. He's got a thought on Draymond Green. That's what's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
He's going to miss the next couple games, and we'll reevaluate him on Friday. So the good news is the MRI was pretty clear, and we don't expect this to be a long-term thing. So, I've been touting our depth the last few weeks in preseason, and not only are we going to be without Steph, but we'll be without D'Anthony Melton and Wiggs tomorrow night. So a chance for that depth to get their opportunity, and I'm excited about that.
This is Stephen Curry, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and The Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
All right, that was Steve Kerr. Presser yesterday, the Warriors had shoot around, and he's discussing the MRI for Stephen Curry. Not a long-term issue here, but short-term, the Warriors will be without their star and their franchise player, Stephen Curry, who, of course, tweaked his ankle twice in that game against the Clippers on Sunday, late in the third quarter, then at the 8-minute mark of the fourth quarter, and that's tough. That is tough as he was trying to find his rhythm here to start the season. I thought he was having one of his better offensive games, 6 of 11 from the floor, 18 points and 6 assists as the Warriors were struggling to find a flow against the Clippers. Clippers did a great job rebounding the basketball, forcing turnovers, and really paying attention to studying their scouting report. Their scouting report was like, get in the face of Buddy Hield. Let's make sure we take his airspace away. And Buddy had his worst game of the season, shooting 1 of 9 from the three-point line. But the other news here, and I see the text from the 707, Shasky, Comcast Business text line. By the way, tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity Stream Sports. For the best seat in the house with Xfinity, bring on the good stuff. Bring on the good stuff. But hopefully we get some good stuff. But it had to be without Melton and Wiggs, who strained their backs. Now, 707 said, when did they do that? How did they do it? Well, Wiggins was watching the game back yesterday a little bit. And it looked like he tweaked it early. I want to say late first quarter, early second. But he had a couple moments where he started walking gingerly. I was like, huh. And then he just kept playing. He's kept playing. He actually had a great second half, 20 of his 29 in the second half.
And he's been excellent thus far.
Wiggins has been awesome. Melton, I'm not sure, but obviously D'Anthony Melton missed a lot of time last year when he played 37 games with the Philadelphia 76ers with the back injury. And that was concern in the offseason. I heard other teams kind of hit on D'Anthony Melton. And there was concerns about his back. And that's unfortunate because this guy can defend. And he's an extra ball handler. Although the three-point shot hasn't come around yet, not having Melton and Wiggs, two of your better perimeter defenders, it's going to be dicey.
Yeah, I was hoping that Melton would at some point find his way into the starting lineup just because I think he is a nice little ball handler. I really underrated his ball handling and his court vision. And I think that he does provide the elements of defense on one end, but spacing on the other end.
Right.
And can be that guy who can play alongside Steph Curry, because you have to be a very unique player to play alongside Steph Curry.
No, you do. You do. You definitely do here. So no Melton, probably no Wiggs. And no Stephen Curry tonight. And Wiggs and Melton will be reevaluated on Friday as they head on the road to Houston. They'll play Houston on Saturday. So if they can't get these guys ready to roll on this five-game road trip, all of a sudden we're looking like, damn, Houston? All right, you're in the nation's capital. You know Jordan Poole's got a lick in his chops, and he's off to a great start this season, Jordan Poole. Then you get Boston, you get Cleveland, you get Oklahoma City. This may be hard to do here.
You know, I think about these things a lot. Like, sports is so much about confidence and psychology. I don't think we do a good enough job understanding that. I'm not saying knowing it. It's very difficult to know how someone feels. I'm just saying understanding that the psyche is a big part of it. Like, why are some guys just better in the fourth quarter than others? You know, or why are some guys more wired to be great closers or elite postseason players like an Andy Pettit? We were talking about all-time leader in wins in the postseason. Like, I always wonder about those. Like, why was Dave Stewart so much better than Roger Clemens for a long time in the playoffs, right? There's something psychologically as well as physically. I think about this often, and I don't know if this is real or not. But for the young players, especially like, let's just say, Pajemski and Kuminga, when your name, fair or not, has been dangled, whether it's reckless or it was real reporting or parts of it were true or whatever, but when you've been dangled in a trade for months on end throughout the offseason, I'm not saying you obsess about it, but it's got to be in there just a little. Like, I don't know, like, can the genie go back into the bottle for a young player like that when you know that you've been dangled? I know you have to be professional. Like, I get it. But there's also the real personal element of, like, damn, y'all, do y'all like me or not?
Yeah, well, you know, with Pajemski, I'll just lean on him. He came out, and I know you could say it's professional, and he's got to say it, but he came out and said, look, I like the fact that my name's out there. These teams want me. So I like that perspective that he had about that. And he's getting his 25 minutes. There is a lot of pressure on him in his second year with the departure of a Klay Thompson and a Chris Paul to step up and elevate his game from a first-team all-rookie season. Kuminga, I think it's really correlated with the contract.
You think it's contract?
I think it's more so contract with him trying to find his way. And he's looking around saying, boy, do the Warriors really believe in me? Maybe that's in the back of his mind. Maybe it is. I'm not a mind reader. I'm not inside of Kuminga's head. I'm not sure. I think you can look at it two ways, where one, do the Warriors want me? Or two, hey, I get to go out and prove myself, and I get to earn more money. Moses Moody did sign his contract, but Moody wants to play. And Moody's not playing much right now. He only played 12 minutes on Sunday. TJG's getting a chance to start. I think he's fine. TJD, Clippers game, it was a one-off, but Zubac had his way. And he really was a non-factor in that game against the LA Clippers. So I'm looking at Kuminga and Potts. You got a lot of guards here, a lot of wings. Where does Potts fit in? Kuminga, a lot of wings, a lot of pressure on him with this money. What's going on with him psychologically? Don't know yet. But that's why when you think about guys who needs to step up, it's Kuminga. But I can make the case for Draymond Green as well, being the leader of this team. Awesome. Draymond Green's got to add some scoring punch to this without Stephen Curry and Andrew Wiggins and D'Anthony Melton.
Yeah, I'm going to take Draymond off. I don't know why. I'm going to take him off for right now. I look at Pods, and I think Pods is the guy that's got to kind of step up here. And I think this is a good opportunity for him. I think he's been up and down. He's scrappy, obviously, but the shot's not really falling right now. And he looks a little indecisive, like he's trying to do too much. And I don't know. I think this is a big stretch for him. Let's say Steph's out X amount of games. You know, I would assume he's going to start at the point in his absence. Can he be a 12 to 15 point a night scorer? Can he get it up that high? Can he be an 8 assist a night guy with generating multiple turnovers and getting some loose ball jump balls or something like that? Like, I'm looking at Pods even more than Kuminga. I think Kuminga's going to be okay. I'm looking at Pods.
All right. That's fair. The shot hasn't fallen for him yet, just shooting 7% on the young season from the three-point line. Let's go to Chris in San Jose. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good morning.
Morning. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about how to kind of phrase this, because I don't think that it's just as simply put as Draymond is quote-unquote blocking a guy like Jonathan Kuminga, but I do think there is still an unknown with what Kuminga is and what he could be. And with Draymond, you know, we know what he is. Hall of Famer, he's integral to how we want to play and run the motion offense, but you know, I look at a guy like Draymond and I these are the facts. We're talking about a guy who's 6'5 and a half, maybe 6'6, getting a little older, achy back, achy knees. You know, the stuff where he was able to maybe give a 6'10 guy a little bit of trouble in his yesteryear when he was healthy and young. I think those days are long gone. I just look at him and I don't think he can handle the size of some of these bigs that come down there. You know, it's not just Trayce Jackson-Davis guarding Zubac. Draymond's getting worked by Zubac as well. And he looks tiny next to him. And then you take it a step further and you got Draymond. You know, they try to tell us Draymond's the point guard of the offense. It's like, okay, because you're standing at the 3-point line while other people are running off screens and you hit them in the chest, that you're not a point guard, dude. You're a glorified guy who starts the offense. You're not playmaking, okay? You went 0 of 2, 0 points, 2 assists, 2 turnovers, what, 3 rebounds? So we're talking about a guy who doesn't spread the floor. He doesn't score. his playmaking is vastly overrated and has been for a long time. You're talking about a guy who can't rebound, right? A good game for Draymond. You go out there, it's 8-8-8, couple steals, solid defense, you know, a big defensive play here and there. And Anthony Davis is over there, you know, 32 points, 18 rebounds, 4 blocks. And we're like, dang, he had a bad game. He needed to do better. But it's like there's so many levels to this. So, again, Draymond, we know what he is. JK, we don't know what he is. I'd rather, you know, I know this is like the last hurrah with Curry and Dre, but we got to find a way to get, and it's a fine line,
right?
Because we don't have that much size.
Yep.
But I there's something's got to happen where JK gets integrated. JK feels comfortable. He gets more opportunities. You know, I didn't want to turn this into just like a bash Draymond thing, but in reality, Draymond is the one blocking him.
No, you know what?
I'll let you guys run with that, but
Chris, it's a great call, and there could be a sense it could be some validity to that, to where Kuminga is a natural four, and maybe he needs to play the four. Now, does he play the four as a starter? Or does he come off the bench as a four? That's a conversation for Steve Kerr. But I don't think Draymond's going to leave this starting lineup with this team. But who knows, man? There may be things on the table where you got to get the best out of this roster. You know, last year, I don't want to go back to last year, but there was so much made about Klay Thompson going to the bench. He finally came off the bench. So did Andrew Wiggins. He came off the bench. Chris Paul, they came off the bench. They all sacrificed. Whether they wanted to or not, they ended up sacrificing. We may have a conversation about that in the future. I don't think we're there yet, but there's no doubt Sunday, Draymond Green did not have it in that game. You know, Zubac had his way against TJD. He had his way against Draymond. And Draymond sat the last 8 minutes. Offensively, was this MIA. That's the thing with Draymond offensively. And Mully talks about it. I talk about it. He shot 39.5% from the three-point line last year. Now he only took three attempts a game. That shot's presented, and it's open for him all day long. If you don't take that shot, whether it's him, Kuminga, it clogs the offense up with the way Stephen Curry runs around here. So offensively, the Clippers said, you know what, we're going to sag off these guys. So there could be something to that, Shasky, to where Kuminga has to play the four. Maybe that is his natural position.
Well, I've long thought that it is, but on this team, the way, like, again, Draymond being there presents elements. Let's get into it on the other side, because he brought up something about point guard and how where Draymond plays, and I want to break that down, because I've been harping on that for a while.
That's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Bay Area is the Anthony Melton. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, D'Anthony, he'll be reevaluated Friday. That's the latest on the Golden State Warriors. A lot of injuries here. It's like injuries are happening all over the Bay Area with our basketball teams here. Basketball team, football team. D'Anthony Melton, who had 8 points against the L.A. Clippers, left the game at 4:25, left, underwent an MRI on his back post-game. The MRI showed no structural damage. He has a strained lower back and will be reevaluated on Friday. Stephen Curry, no structural damage. And they called it a left peroneal strain. Left ankle sprain. We're getting really detailed with these injuries.
I remember I had to look it up.
I was like, never heard of that. Where's Dr. Niran Padia?
He posted a video yesterday, Dr. Niran Padia. Our injury insider here at 95.7 The Game, UCSF Health, shout out. But he said it's basically the ligament that attaches to the, it's around the ankle, attaches to the bottom of the foot, the plantar, like you hear plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
So it all attaches like there and stuff like that. So obviously a strain, there could be some micro tearing in there. But he said, thankfully, it's nothing that sounds like too serious, so hopefully it should be fine.
And then Steve Kerr had his presser yesterday after this shoot around and said Andrew Wiggins, who's off to a great start. Andrew Wiggins, so far in the season, averaging nearly 20 points and 7 rebounds, and he was shooting 58% from the 3-point line, 55% from the floor. I get it, we're only 3 games in, but he's unlikely to play tonight with the back injury, so not good. Not good, Shasky, for the Golden State Warriors, as this segment is sponsored by our great friends at Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Shasky, we got somebody on hold here that didn't call yesterday, so we're going to get to him in just a second. But go ahead. I see your mouth moving.
Oh, no, no. I mean, that's just, we were talking about Draymond as a point guard on this team, and I understand that, like, right now, there's a lot of, like, positionless players in the league, right? And there's many ways to set up your offense. There's no, like, right or wrong. Like, it's right. kind of like preference and stuff. But there are some things that I believe in if you're going to be a ball handler that is an offense initiator. Like, okay, for example, when we say point guard, there are scoring point guards, there's passing point guards, and there's blends of the two, right?
Right.
Nikola Jokic, at times, brings the ball up the floor right. for Denver and initiates their offense.
Point
right?
center?
What?
Point center?
Yeah, but you get where I'm going with this. But they also have Jamal Murray, and he's going to be out for some time, and so they're going to have other guys play. Like, there's many ways to initiate offense, but when I look at some of the great initiators of offense, the one thing that they can do that Draymond just refuses to do at times is dribble drive penetration, right? You have got to make the defense bend. Yep. You can't just come up to the top of the key, stop, hold the ball, and wait for people to move off ball. Mm-hmm. Because now because your lack of shooting and because that they're sagging off you and they're saying, we dare you to take that 3-point. Right. It's 4-on-5 on the back end of that. And so you're just holding the ball waiting for someone to come off of a screen. Now, when you're a threat to dribble drive penetrate, they have to come up to you, right? And they don't want you getting into the lane for a layup. They don't want you getting into the lane, kicking it out to an open 3-point shooter, and then thus rotating their defense. Like, you're not a threat to shoot, and you're not a threat to dribble drive penetrate. You're making it more hard on yourself. And then you look at Draymond's, if we want to go deep here, the great point guards, point forwards, point centers, whatever you want to call them, their assist to turnover ratio is somewhere in the 2.5 to 3.5 range. Those are the good to great ones, whether it's Halliburton, who led in assists per game last year, or even a LeBron James, who's one of the great passers of all time. Like, he's usually been at 2.5 to 3.5 to 1 assist to turnover ratio. Last year, Chris Paul was like 3.5 to 1 or whatever.
Chris Paul's notoriously great. He excels when it comes to assist to turnover ratio. And I know where you're getting to with Draymond Green. The turnovers, and it's the live ball turnovers, and it's the turnovers where it's just, hey, there was one yesterday, I think he was throwing it down. Who's he throwing it down the floor to? And it just got intercepted. I think about the 2019 finals, not to revisit that, but to your point about turnover to assist ratio, Draymond Green had 30 turnovers in that 6-game series against Toronto. And there's one possession that sticks out to me. Iguodala and Draymond's on the floor. It's game 4 or game 6. I forget the game. But they're both on the wing. Iguodala passes to Draymond, wide open, pass it back, wide open, pass it back. Guy's got to shoot. So what my issue sometimes at times is Draymond Green. There was a possession, was it late third quarter, early fourth quarter, where he's in the mid post and Zubac is not even guarding him. But Draymond's not in that triple threat position to where he's not even looking at the rim.
Exactly.
And so it's like you're not even being a threat to shoot it. At least Looney now, you see him now, he's starting to face up to the basket to make himself a threat to shoot that mid-range jumper. Draymond at times is not in that triple threat position offensively, and that's not threatening the defense whatsoever. They're just saying, we're going to play the pass, and dare him to shoot it. He's going to have to make the defense pay at some point this season.
There's no doubt. And God, you're bringing up so many great points here, but like, and this is where I tell him, like, hey, dude, you pick your dribble up way too often at the top of the key, and then you're sitting here pointing and begging and and then he'll throw a bad turnover where he's forcing it into multiple people. It's like, well, yeah, because they're playing 5-on-4 on the back end, and the defense has numbers and advantages. You've picked your dribble up. You're not going to shoot from there. Maybe I'm getting way too deep into the X's and O's.
Stop.
It really bugs me. And then conversely, Pods does a lot of similar things to Draymond as a point guard.
Right.
But this is where Pods frustrates me. He does the dribble drive penetration, but refuses to shoot
it. Right. He's got to look for a shot.
And then the defense is like, well, we know you're not going to take that bunny or that runner or that floater in the lane. And so we don't have to, guard you that hard. We're playing the passing lanes.
Yep.
And so right now, they kind of do have a point guard problem.
Yep.
And that's why I go back to DeAnthony Melton, who you referenced. And
really
I want to see him play.
Yeah, they really don't have a natural point guard.
They don't.
You know, even when it comes to Kyle Anderson, you know, they don't have that natural point guard now. Can you go get one? Do you need one? You know, we got Stephen Curry. It's all about the combinations, right? I think Pods can be that guy. But like you mentioned, he's got to be more aggressive offensively to look for his more shot. And tonight, they're going to have to. They've got no choice, right? They've got no choice with Steph Wiggins and DeAnthony Melton out.
So, like, getting back to the original point that we were getting at, this isn't even just, it's just the pieces they have together don't necessarily fit in cohesion, especially when Curry's out. But, like, it's just, it's a little clunky at times, and they're going to have to make some adjustments right now. I think I could use another big. They need a rim runner. Like, there's a lot that's going on, but they need Draymond engaged. That's where it starts.
Well, I think he was engaged. I don't think he didn't have it. He didn't have it on Sunday, and it happens.
Okay.
You have bad games, but maybe more aggressive offensively, I would say, because I don't want to put it on a player and say, hey, man, this player's not engaged. This guy's not into it. This guy's not playing hard. This guy's not doing that. I'm not going to go that far, but I do think they need an aggressive guy, especially now, because you got to get buckets in this league. You got to get buckets. You can play all the defense in the world, but you have to get buckets. Let's go to Rob in San Bruno.
Hey, Rob.
Rob, man, I called you out yesterday, man. I love you, Rob, but we got to give credit when credit's due. You didn't call me after Victory Monday, man, against the Cowboys.
Look, man, I told y'all last week we were going to beat the Cowboys. I told y'all last week that we finna go on a 3-game winning streak. Oh. We finna beat Tampa, and we finna beat the Buccaneers. Tampa and Seattle. The tape. I said that.
Yeah, you did. You did say that. That's fair. That's fair.
And then I got like the peasants go first, man. You understand me? That's what I see what everybody was saying. Then I came and I had to say what I had to say. But, yeah, the 49ers played the game I expected them to play. I like Crescendo. You know, he reminded me of Mostert with that speed.
Oh, yeah, my boy Grindo.
Yeah, Lenore and Mustafa, yeah. I think Tyler Funk, he ain't going to be back here next year. Mustafa one of them ones. But I want to talk about the Warriors, though. The Warriors, man, look, man, Draymond Green, Kaczynski. Remember he was supposed to be an all-star player? They was talking about even an all-star player next year. Yeah, man, come on, man. Draymond needs to step up. You know what I'm saying? You making this money. It's time for you to score at least 15 points, man. Kaczynski, what are you doing? You supposed to replace Clay. All you did was replace the bench. You know what I'm saying? So the Warriors, like I said, they matched to me is going to be 40 games. Now, I say that's with Steph not hurt. Now it's Steph hurt. And one more thing, man. Shout out to Clay Thompson, man. That guy's so washed right now. You know what I mean? He's getting smooth turns. Oh. He's getting easy turns.
Hey.
The thing is, he playing with two balls, so it's not even the same type of offense. He playing with two dominant balls, and he's still getting his 18-20. But he was washed with Golden State, huh? And then Kuminga, look, man, Kuminga just don't fit with Steve Kerr. They don't like the same style of basketball. It's never going to work. Hence why they ain't paying him. So for Kuminga to do something, he's going to go to another team. He just don't fit with Kerr and the Warriors organization how to want to play. That's my thing.
I'm starting to agree with you in the sense that it feels to me like the Warriors are either holding on. Again, this is just my feel, okay? That something's up. I was really excited for Kuminga heading into this year, but it's like they're trying to force him to play a specific way of ball that he clearly, it's not the best way for him to play ball. And so there's something's got to give. Either they've got to run some more stuff that's going to work for him, and now with Curry out, maybe you start experimenting with some of that. Or he is one of the centerpieces in a trade.
Klay Thompson so far, 19.7 points per game, 47.5% from the floor, 45.5% from the three-point line. I'm going to throw it with a bunch of Laker buddies. They're like, Bonte, how'd you let him go?
The Laker!
Bonte, how'd you let him go? I mean, look, we're not going to do this every day. He needed to change the scenery. Warriors needed to change the scenery. But I am happy for Klay Thompson. He looks smooth out there in Dallas, and he's getting wide open looks playing off of Luka and Kyrie. Luka's not even in shape yet. He's not even in shape. I mean,
will he ever be?
No, he never. He kind of uses the first part of the season to get in shape. But Clay looks good right now in that Mavericks uniform, man. There's no doubt about that. So,
good for him.
You know what? He wasn't watched because his last 30 games, he shot 43% from the 3-point line and 46% from the floor. So I don't know where the watch conversation came from. Let's go to Oscar and Stockton. Oscar, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, man, check this out. I'm Chasky. You guys got to understand. We got to stop panicking so much. Especially, and I'm a Warrior fan, but I'm gonna talk about the Niners because I haven't even been calling in. But I'm telling you guys, it's right on. The fans are just. I mean, stop being so fair weather. The Niners is 4-4, and I'm a Raider fan. At the end of the year, they're not necessarily going to be all right. They got good coaching and good organizations. So that means they're going to be there at the end. I mean, we are just panicking in the Bay Area. I mean, suddenly with my birthday, I want to have a good outlook. And with the Warriors, oh, my God.